Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump!
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Mexican lawmakers turned down their president's marriage proposal, Canada offers gender options for foreign visitors, and Trump upset resets U.S. politics. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Frances O'Brien.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending November 12, 2016. A committee in Mexico's lower house of Congress has rejected a bill proposed by President Enrique Peña Nieto to constitutionally create civil marriage equality. This week's vote in the Commission on Constitutional Matters was 19-8, with one abstention. Marriage equality has been formally legalized in Mexico City and 10 of Mexico's 31 states. The country's Supreme Court ruled last year that it was unconstitutional to deny civil marriage to same-gender couples and urged lawmakers in the remaining states to remedy this situation. But unlike high court rulings in some other countries, the decision didn't automatically open the institution to gay and lesbian couples across the country. Individual couples in jurisdictions without marriage equality must still sue in each case for the right to wed. The very idea of opening civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples in heavily Roman Catholic Mexico has fueled large marches in opposition. But it's also led to the creation of new LGBT rights groups across the country and equally large marches in support of equality. Congressman Guadalupe Acosta Naranjo of the leftist Democratic Revolution Party lamented the lost legislative opportunity. "The rights of minorities are not put to a vote," he said. "They are expanded and recognized, and it is Congress that should protect them."
But excited lesbian and gay couples in Taiwan are closely following developments in their Congress. The legislative yuan that could make the island state the first in Asia with marriage equality. President Tsai Ing-wen of the governing Democratic Progressive Party has been a vocal supporter. Legislation filed by her party in October would change the definition of civil marriage to a union of two people rather than of a man and woman. It would also allow married same-gender couples to adopt children. The bill passed its first reading this week, but that only signaled its formal introduction, after which it was sent to the legislature's Judiciary and Organic Laws and Statutes Committee for consideration. Second and third readings are required for final passage. No timetable has been announced for that process. A marriage equality bill cleared its first reading in 2013, but failed to advance. A record-breaking crowd of more than 80,000 people lobbied for civil marriage equality at Taipei's annual LGBT Pride Parade in late October. But Western-inspired fundamentalist church groups, like the Alliance of Religious Groups for the Love of Families Taiwan, have already staged street protests and vowed to do whatever they can to block any change to the status quo.
Northern Ireland's governing Democratic Unionist Party, or DUP, has once again stifled the advancement of a marriage equality bill in Parliament. Finance Minister Marching O'Melior of the minority government partner Sinn Féin Party said he got a flat no from the DUP leadership when he asked for a consultation to be brought forward. Legislation to open civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples actually passed the Northern Ireland Assembly last year by a narrow margin on a fifth try. But the ruling DUP used parliamentary technicalities to nullify the vote. Persistent opposition MPs have vowed to continue pushing for marriage equality through private members' bills. But the DUP is expected to govern through at least 2021 and to maintain its resistance to civil marriage equality. Party leadership has promised to protect what it calls traditional marriage.
The leader of Romania's biggest political party has asked two Social Democratic Party Senate colleagues to withdraw a bill to hold a national marriage equality referendum on the same day as parliamentary elections. Liviu Dragnea, chairman of the Social Democrats, said this week that the two votes should not be combined. A petition circulated by Romania's anti-queer Coalition for Family, demanding the constitutional ban, which had the support of the country's Orthodox Church, gathered more than 3 million signatures in a country of about 20 million. Equality advocates charge that referendum proponents are pushing for the marriage issue on the same day as national elections, December 11th, to maximize voter turnout and achieve the required participation threshold for referendum passage of 30%. President Klaus Iohannis is the only senior Romanian politician to support marriage equality. It is wrong to follow the path of religious fanaticism and of ultimatums, he's said. I'm a believer in tolerance, trust, and openness toward the other. Parliamentary debate was postponed late this week, but if the senators ignore Dragnea's request, lawmakers would have 2 weeks to decide the issue. In a separate case on the judicial front, the Romanian Constitutional Court is set to decide on November 29th if opening civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples is constitutional.
Elsewhere, a government spokesperson for Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada announced this week that the agency would be changing its rules governing foreign visitors to allow them to identify themselves on border documents as male, female, or other. It's expected that such an option will soon be available on Canadian passports. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said in early July that his government was exploring the use of gender-neutral alternatives on federal identity cards, a human rights issue raised repeatedly by transgender Canadians and their allies. Canada joins Australia, New Zealand, Nepal, and a few other countries to offer an option other than male or female on travel documents and other government forms. In a related Canadian immigration story, the agency's website continually crashed from an overwhelming surge in hits from the U.S. on the evening of November 8th as the election of Donald Trump as the nation's 45th president became more apparent. Our comprehensive Queer Eye on the U.S. elections coverage begins right after this newscast on most of these same This Way Out stations.
Meanwhile, another U.S. district court has ruled that federal civil rights laws banning workplace bias based on sex also protect LGBT employees. Pittsburgh-based U.S. District Court Judge Kathy Bissoun rejected the request for dismissal of the case by the defendant in a workplace discrimination lawsuit brought by the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC, on behalf of Dale Baxley. The suit charges that Scott Medical Health Center of Pittsburgh created a sexually hostile work environment around Baxley because he's gay. That someone can be subjected to a barrage of insults, humiliation, hostility, and/or changes to the terms and conditions of their employment based upon nothing more than the aggressor's view of what it means to be a man or a woman is exactly the evil Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was designed to eradicate, she wrote. There is no more obvious form of sex stereotyping than making a determination that a person should conform to heterosexuality. A 3-judge panel of the Chicago-based 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals held in a related case that only the Supreme Court or lawmakers could provide legal protections for LGBT people at work. The full court, with the urging of the EEOC and others, agreed to reconsider that decision on November 30th.
And finally, the city of Orlando, Florida, will buy Pulse Nightclub and convert the site into a memorial. Mayor Buddy Dyer made the announcement this week just ahead of Orlando's annual weekend LGBT Pride celebration. 49 LGBT people and their friends were killed, and 53 people were injured at the Pulse's Latino night on June 12th by a possibly self-hating Muslim gay man. It was the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Dyer said the city has reached a deal to buy the nightclub for about $600,000 above its appraised value. He told the Orlando Sentinel that the site will remain as it is for the next 12 to 18 months to continue to be a gathering place for mourners. And then, he told the Sentinel, the city will reach out to the LGBT community for advice on what the memorial should look like. It's not known if the building itself or a part of it will remain standing. Barbara Poma opened Pulse Nightclub following the death of her gay brother from complications of AIDS. She told reporters that her life's mission now is to keep the memories of the victims alive. We just have to move forward and find a way to keep their hearts beating and the spirit alive, she said. We're not going to allow anyone to take that away from us.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 12th, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Frances O'Brien.
And I'm John Dyer V.
Imagine my surprise.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Say what you will about him with women and Latinos and other constituencies, he hasn't flipped and he hasn't said anything. He hasn't screwed up on any LGBT stuff yet.
Not our president! Not our president!
That thing that many thought could never happen, like Britain leaving the European Union, has come to pass. Although some 2 million more U.S. voters cast their ballots to make former Secretary of State Democrat Hillary Rodham Clinton the country's first female president, the state-apportioned delegates to the Electoral College will give the win to controversial Republican real estate mogul Donald Trump. Politicians, pollsters, and pundits on both sides were shocked, and protesters have taken to the streets in many major cities. As progressives shook in their shoes, mainstream Republicans trembled with delight at the unexpected windfall. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan was one GOP incumbent who kept his distance from the Trump campaign, but rushed to embrace him in victory.
We can lift the oppressive weight of the regulatory state. We can restore the Constitution. Think about the conservative Constitution-respecting judges that will be nominated. This is very exciting.
Paul Ryan's ceiling is Democrat Russ Feingold's floor. Feingold was favored to regain his Wisconsin U.S. Senate seat, but like so many others, the progressive Clinton supporter was left defeated and dumbfounded.
Obviously, something is happening in this country. I don't understand it completely. I don't think anybody does. But we as Americans have to do the best we can to heal the pain in this country and get people to come together. I would urge you to be as restrained as you can be as the next steps occur. I don't know exactly what they're going to be, but this could be one of the most challenging times in the history of our country.
International reaction to Trump's election was swift. One of the first to chime in was Russian President Vladimir Putin, whose government allegedly had a hand in the hacking and release of damaging Clinton staff emails. Putin welcomed the election of the man who so praised his leadership during the campaign.
We've heard his electoral slogans while he was presidential candidate, which focused on resuming and restoring relations between Russia and the United States. We do understand that this way won't be an easy task, taking into account the current degraded state of relations between Russia and the U.S.
French President François Hollande greeted the news with more caution.
I will engage without delay in a discussion with the new American administration, which takes office on the 20th of January. But I will do that with watchfulness and frankness, because certain positions taken by Donald Trump during the American campaign must be confronted in light of the values and interests that we share with the United States.
Trump's candidacy had been condemned in the British House of Commons and in several other legislative chambers around the world. In New South Wales, Australia, MP Jerry Buckingham pulled no punches with a resolution that received unanimous approval in the state parliament's upper house.
Mr. President, I give notice that on the next sitting day, I will move that this house agrees with those who have described Mr. Donald Trump as a revolting slug unfit for office.
Outgoing UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for a kumbaya moment.
The United Nations will count on the new administration to strengthen the bonds of international cooperation as we strive together to uphold the shared ideals, combat climate change, advance human rights, promote mutual understanding, and implement the sustainable development goals to achieve lives of peace, prosperity, and dignity for all.
I'm Kate Clinton, and while I can joke about the political state of our country, it's no laughing matter what Congress could do to our civil rights. An informed community is a strong community. That's why I'm inviting you to tune in to This Way Out.
There had to be a morning after, when Hillary Clinton did her best to soothe her tearful team of supporters after conceding the U.S. presidency to Donald Trump.
We've spent a year and a half bringing together millions of people from every corner of our country to say with one voice that we believe that the American dream is big enough for everyone, for people of all races and religions, for men and women, for immigrants, for LGBT people, and people with disabilities, for everyone. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead. Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power. It also enshrines other things, the rule of law, the principle that we are all equal in rights and dignity, freedom of worship and expression. We respect and cherish these values too, and we must defend them.
We reject the president-elect, gay rights and human rights.
Defending the values Clinton championed was the aim of thousands of anti-Trump protesters across the country. Giving Trump a chance to lead was not. Student activists have been at the forefront of the demonstrations, as KPFA's Nicole Bennett White reported from Berkeley, California.
More than 1,000 Berkeley High students and teachers walked out of their classrooms in protest against the new president-elect. The crowd dressed in black and carried signs that read, "Love Trump's hate" and "Not my president." A sense of fear, anger, and disbelief permeated the crowd that marched to UC Berkeley's Sproul Plaza, a historical center for civil unrest. As news helicopters hovered overhead, students marched on to the campus bell tower and then lined up to speak. Other students spoke out about the deep racial injustices a Trump presidency conjures.
I am an African-American woman who grew up in Berkeley all my life. I woke up so angry, thinking that Donald Trump thinks that he owned this land. We own this land. We own this land. My ancestors got taken from their home and had shackles on their feet. We own this land. We built this land. This is ours. We don't own anything.
Other students spoke about their hopes for the future, despite the challenges ahead.
What we're doing is actually making a difference. I overheard some people talking about, oh, like, they're not going to notice that a group of kids sit together. They are going to notice this. And it's going to encourage other people to love on each other. This is our time. This is our revelation. All power to the people.
I have arrived at the realization, that culture does indeed contain the seed of resistance that blossoms into the flower of liberation. Liberation from a system of oppression that has for years been present within our society and has taken the lives of millions of people. Now, while we might not be able to change Trump's presidential victory, we can definitely change the opinions of those who voted in his favor. So let's make America more inclusive.
For KPFA News, I'm Nicole Bennett Fight.
Not all of the rainbows were on the Clinton side of the storm. An estimated 14% of LGBT votes went to Donald Trump. The night before the election, correspondents Abby Dees and Wenzel Jones spoke with California LGBT Trump co-chair Charles Moran.
The national log cabin Republicans declined to endorse Trump this election. They did say, and I think a lot of people would agree with this, that he's been the most pro-LGBT Republican candidate for the office of president that we have seen, but they were concerned that they couldn't trust him on these issues.
They let the chapters individually go ahead and voice their support if they so chose. California, our umbrella organization, did. Dallas, Miami, many chapters throughout the country took the steps to go ahead and reaffirm their support. And National let us do that.
What is it about Trump, from your point of view, that LGBT people aren't getting?
I think that he has a long philanthropic and business history of being inclusive. In the year 2000, he was flirting with running for president. He sat down with The Advocate and did a full person face-to-face sit-down interview. No major presidential campaign, D or R, had actually done that up to the point. So Donald Trump took that first step as a potential contender, sitting down with our national LGBT news magazine to do that interview and to answer those questions. If you look at his business work, his club in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, which was a private estate he converted to a country club, up to that point in Palm Beach, they didn't let in African-Americans, open homosexuals to become members. And he made it a point to open up his club that if you were openly homosexual, you could apply and be given membership. Even if you look at, you know, his philanthropic donations to in New York to like the Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation, I mean, sizable six-figure contributions over the years to support that. His participation in gay marriages, you know, when Elton John got married, I mean, he went on the record and, you know, it said his famous line, like when two people dig each other, they should be able to be together in this type of situation. Up until this very recently, when he said, you know, Caitlyn Jenner can use whatever bathroom she wants, which was great because that shut down that debate in the Republican Party. So looking at his business record and looking at his philanthropic record, which are the two areas we can really judge him on, for better or worse, he's been pro-LGBT inclusion on a business side and on a philanthropic side. So I lean on that.
This is the issue, and the federal log cabin, or the national log cabin chapter, of course, made this point. He's very confusing around this, and it's very hard to know what he really thinks, because, you know, he's also suggested that he would nominate Supreme Court justices that have a very anti-gay record, and he nominated Pence as his running mate.
I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order.
And he's come out and said,
I'm traditional marriage.
Which we know is code for get rid of gay stuff.
When he was asked specifically about it, his answer was, it's settled law. This is the way it is. I wish the states could have voted on it, but it's settled law. It's a done deal.
Did you expect Trump to do as well as he's done?
No, I didn't. So I kind of tuned out for most of the presidential primary for the Republican Party. I knew that, you know, we started with a field of 17 and that clown car got, you know, boiled down to a final few. And I started paying attention in February when we had three. And, you know, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, John Kasich. Ted Cruz is just not an option for me. I mean, that's just not an option. And as much as I like John Kasich, you know, I'm living in the real world, not in fantasy land, and there was no way he was going to get the nomination. Donald Trump, for all of his misgivings, has been, you know, good on the issues that I care about, spoke to them in an authentic way, and on LGBT stuff, like, you know, say what you will about him, you know, with women and Latinos and other constituencies, he hasn't flipped and he hasn't said anything. He hasn't screwed up on any LGBT stuff yet.
This is very much up in the air because he has said one thing, he has said another, and he is divisive. And I think what's alarming to a lot of people is he has this unprecedented appeal to the what we call the alt-right nowadays, which is sort of the white nationalists, and his comments about women and Latinos and Muslims. Does this concern you?
What are the actual threats to our community? Donald Trump, I mean, 90% of the conversations that Donald Trump is having is talking about, you know, the way gay and lesbians are treated in other parts of the planet. I mean, what's going on in the Middle East. And this is something that Hillary Clinton, for all the money she's taken, has never really addressed. I mean, she sits there and she talks about, you know, her stand for women, for equality issues, but she has not once criticized her donors in Qatar, in Saudi Arabia, in Bahrain, and these other places that are funding them. Donald Trump is actually broadening the scope of conversation. You know, we're not harping on transgender bathroom issues when our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters are being stoned and they're, you know, chemically castrated in other countries that are friends of Hillary Clinton's and bankrolling her initiatives.
I mean, but to that point, Trump has also done business with the Saudis and people in those countries too.
But he didn't have the ability to change. He didn't have the ability to change American policy, and Hillary Clinton did.
I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans. And this is so important to me. For those who have chosen not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people, I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so that we can work together and unify our great country.
After failing to endorse Trump's candidacy, the National Log Cabin Republicans now say that they are the only point of contact between the LGBT community and the president-elect. Washington Post columnist Jonathan Capehart let his guard down in an interview with UK's Channel 4 to express the sentiments of many progressive people.
The election of President Obama was a great moment for this country. And now we stand 2 months away from all of that disappearing. And as an African American, as an openly gay man, and as an American, that frightens me.
I will be president for all Americans, and this is so important to me.
Son, you're a politician.
Marvin, what do we do now?
Wait a minute, what?
As the early 20th century union activist Joe Hill said, don't mourn, organize. Or as MSNBC anchor Rachel Maddow asked,
if you are worried or mad or sad or scared about what this election did, there is no use raging against the election for long. If you're a citizen who believes this president-elect will do what he says he will do, what are you going to do in your life to try to protect what makes us us? What are you going to join? What are you going to volunteer for? What are you going to give your money to? What are you going to show up for and participate in that you haven't done before that will help your country?
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International LGBT Radio Magazine. This week, Francis O'Brien and John Dyer V contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride. Holly Neer sang and Leonard Bernstein conducted some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, who all make this program possible. Check out the latest show information, special offers, and more at thiswayout.org. If you'd like a CD copy of this week's show or just want to say hello, email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CJMP Powell River, British Columbia, KUOI Moscow, Idaho, Dade City Community Radio, Dade City, Florida, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.